Thank you, Dwight, and thank all of you for joining together with us this morning in our worship unto God. You will be turning in your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. I can't think of any passage in all of the Bible that probably challenges us with greater encouragement and greater enthusiasm than the words of Paul in this particular text. You know, it seems that at the beginning of every new year, there is that vibrancy that we all enjoy. And there is that anticipation that God allows each of us to have as we face the dawn of the new year. How thankful we are that 2011 has arrived and that 2010 has gone into the annals of history. This morning, I want to challenge you with the words of Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have arrived or apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let us therefore, as many as be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us walk by the same mind." You know, I hope that each and every one of you will have a great and wonderful new year. My wish for you would be similar to one who said, "May peace break into your home and may thieves come to steal your debts this year. And may the pockets of your jeans become a magnet for $100 bills. And may love stick to your face like Vaseline and may laughter assault your lips. And may happiness slap you across the face, and may your tears be that of joy, and may the problems you had forget your home address." You know what? I really believe that the year 2011 is going to be a great and wonderful year for God's people. I really believe that. I know we say that every year, and people say, "Well, you know, you're always too optimistic. You know, you're always thinking about the future." But you know what? I believe that that's where God wants us to be. I don't believe the Lord wants us to live in the past, but He wants us to live in the future. And I believe there's some great and wonderful things that God will accomplish through those of us who love and honor Him in the year 2011. Many of you remember the great philosopher Will Rogers. Well, Will Rogers was certainly a witty man. He was a man who had a lot to say about life and living. Well, in the days of Will Rogers, there lived a number of people. Some of them were intelligent, some were not. Well, during the days of Will Rogers, there was a football game that was played in the Rose Bowl. By the way, didn't TCU look great in the Rose Bowl yesterday? I was really proud of them. And they've gained national notoriety. But anyway, many years ago, during the days when Will Rogers lived, they had the Rose Bowl game out in Pasadena, California. And it really was the game of the year at that particular time. Two giant teams had met for a decisive struggle. And it came to pass at a particular moment of supreme importance that a player caught a bounding ball, and in the heat of all of that excitement, he lost his sense of direction and headed at top speed for the goal of the opposing team. Sounds almost like Cowboys, doesn't it? But anyway, and just before reaching that goal, he was tackled by a teammate. You know, I've thought in life, many of us find ourselves heading in the wrong direction. We're running toward the wrong goal. There are a lot of people in life who believe that their driving goal and aspiration should be to become extremely famous in life. And if I can be famous, then I would have reached the apex of my life and what I really wanted to accomplish in life. Sometimes people believe, well, if I could have all the money in the world that I wanted and I could enjoy all the material things of life, then I can say that I had been successful. I'm telling you this morning that there are many people in our world who are running in the wrong direction. And there are many who are running toward the wrong goal. And you know what? We need brethren sometimes, those of us who are Christians, to go out and tackle us and to bring us back to reality, to where we need to be. Sometimes people get the idea that they know all there is to know about life and living. They feel like they have all the answers. I heard a story one time about a magician who was working on a cruise ship in the Caribbean. And the audience would be different each week, but the magician allowed himself to do those same tricks, you know, that he would do over and over and over again. Well, there was only one problem. The captain's parrot saw the shows every week, and he began to understand what the magician did in every trick. Once he understood that, he started shouting out in the middle of the show. He would say, "Look, it's not under the same hat." Or, "Look, he's hiding the flowers under the table." Or, "Hey, why are all the cards the ace of spades?" And the magician was furious. But he couldn't do anything. It was the captain's parrot after all. One day, the ship had an accident and sank. And the magician found himself on a piece of wood out in the ocean, in the middle of the ocean, and of course the parrot was right by his side. They stared at each other with hate for a little bit, but didn't utter a word. And this went on for several days. And after a week, the parrot finally said, "Okay, I give up. What'd you do with the boat?" Well, you know, in life sometimes we feel like we have all the answers. I'm going to tell you something, we don't, but God does. And I know one thing, if we're going to have a successful life in the year 2011 and we're going to reach toward heaven, then we have to do just that. The year 2011 can become the greatest year of your life if you allow it to happen. Now, I want to share with you this morning some things that I think that we all need to realize, some things that are really important. You know, we always talk about resolutions at the beginning of the year, and that's true. And I've told you before that most people statistically will keep their resolutions about 14 days, and after that, then they're long forgotten. I read the other day on the internet where only about 45% of the people of America will make resolutions at all. They are content, they are satisfied, they are stagnant, they want to be where they are. They're not interested in improving their lives. If the Bible teaches us anything at all, it teaches that we are to press forward. We are to put the things behind us and move on into the future where God really wants us to be. Well, I can make this a great year. And I know one thing, that if it's going to be a great year, I must allow God to be the biggest part of my private life. You know, a lot of people in life believe that what they do in their private life is their business. You know what? God says the contrary. Your private life is just as important to God as your public life and as your personal life. And what you do in your private life will be reflected in your public life. And God says that He is concerned about your private life, what you do in your life. That's why the Bible says in the day of judgment, even the secret things that we do in our life will be open before God. For God will bring into judgment every secret thing, Solomon said. And the Bible says that you and I will be judged by the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Paul took inventory of his life every day. He said, "I buffet my body and bring it into subjection unto God, lest after I have preached to many others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. And it is true, every day we ought to look at our lives. You know, many of us don't do that enough. We look at our lives at the beginning of the year and we say, "Yeah, here's a resolution I need to make. Maybe here's a change I need to make." And we all make mistakes, do we not? Every one of us in this audience this morning have made a lot of mistakes in the year 2010. And you know, you can't go back and retrieve those again and do anything with it. You just have to put it behind you and go on. Sometimes we find ourselves in deep trouble when we try to go back and relive the past. But we all make mistakes. We do. I heard about a man one time who was always telling his wife that housekeeping would be a snap. If she would only organize her time, she could do things much, much better. Well, recently he had a chance to put his theory into practice while his wife was away. He said that when he popped into the kitchen one evening, anyway, this friend did, and noticed that he had made a cake. He had frosted it, he had washed the kitchen windows, he had cleaned all the cupboards, he had scrubbed the kitchen floors, the walls, the ceiling, and even had a bath on top of that. Imagine that, women. And he said, I was about to concede that perhaps he was a better manager than his wife when he added sheepishly, he said, when I was making the chocolate frosting, I forgot to turn off the mixer before taking the beaters out of the bowl. Well, believe it or not, there are some people like that in life. Maybe you've experienced that. Some of you are laughing. Paul took inventory of his life every day. You know, if you're going to do better, you have to find out where you are and how can I really do better. I want God to be pleased with my private life. I know a lot of people say, well, it really doesn't make any difference what I do in my private life. No one will know. You know what? I'll know. God will know. And what I do in my private life is just as important in the eyes of the Almighty than what I do in my public life. We must get to know God. And to know God in the Greek language there literally means to know Him and that God would know us. But there's a second thing. If I'm going to make this a great year, one of the great resolutions I have to make is not only will I want God to be number one in my private life, but I will want God to be the most important individual in my personal life. And I want to grow with God in my private life. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have grown in your relationship with God? And what I mean by that, and I'm not just, oh yeah, I love God. I'm talking about how much more are you a spiritual person right now than you were this time last year? How much more deeply involved with God in seeking the lost and being committed to God and to the church are you now than you were a year ago? You know, I think if the truth were known, many of us would say, you know what, we're right where we were this time last year, or we have digressed. Where are you? As I said, Paul took inventory. You know, sometimes you ask people the question, do you believe in Jesus? You know what, I dare say that everybody this morning in this audience, and probably if you were to ask most people on the streets of Palestine, Texas, do you believe in Jesus? You know what most of them would say? They'd say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. If you were to ask them, do you believe and do you know that Christ died for you? Most of them would answer in the affirmative. Yes, I know that He died for me. And I believe that He died for me. And if you ask the question, do you want to go to heaven? And I have asked that question many, many times to many, many people. Do you really want to go to heaven? Every one of them would respond again by saying, yes, I want to go to heaven. And then if I were to ask you what I've also asked a lot of people in my lifetime, this question. Are you willing to give your heart to God to get there? Oh no, I'm not ready to give my heart to God, but I want to go to heaven. You know, God said there is no other way to go to heaven than to giving our heart unto Him. He said, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that means to live every day as a child of God. It doesn't mean that you live as a Christian on Sunday. It doesn't mean that you let your light shine before the brethren. Jesus said, let your light shine before the world that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Sometimes we bring an attitude of love. We bring an attitude of compassion. We bring an attitude of holiness and purity before the Lord on Sunday. And then on Monday morning when we go out to work, we treat other people as if they're a number. We treat other people unkindly. We have no compassion. We have no time. We have no patience for those out in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. That is a reflection of what is going on in your personal life. I would want God to be first in my private life, but I want him to be first in my personal life, and I want to grow in a relationship with God. You know, I want people to know that I'm growing as a Christian. I don't understand people that say, well, you know I'm not growing as a Christian, but no one knows it. You know what? People know when you're growing as a Christian. And I'm going to tell you something. I have seen people in here, in this audience, grow as Christians. I have seen you become so deeply involved and enmeshed with Christ. And on the other hand, I have to tell you that I have seen some who have departed from the Lord. Peter said it's better for a man to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. He is like the dog that returns to his own vomit. And he is like the sow that returns to the wallowing in the mire. You can almost get such a vivid picture. How close are you to God today? Let me just ask you that question this morning. How close are you to the Father? Are you close to God? You may say, oh yeah, I call on God every time I get in trouble. Every time I get sick, I call on God. Every time I lose a family member, I call on God. That's not the closeness I'm talking about. The closeness that I'm talking about is, are you reading your Bible every day? Are you letting God speak to you through his word? I'm going to tell you something. You'll never get close to God until you do. I've heard people say, well, I wish I was more spiritual. I wish I could just grow in my Christian walk. Well, let me tell you how you can do that. And that is by resolving to read the word of God every day. And resolving to let God speak to you through his word. Now, that's how God speaks to you. He doesn't do it in an audible voice. But he does it through his word. And let me tell you how you communicate with him. And that's when you pray. Not just when you're in trouble or when you're going through a crisis in your life. But pray every day and develop a relationship with God where you're communicating with him. And you will find that life is much, much better. But then, I would want to show God in my public life. Not only my private life and my personal life, but in my public life. You know, it's a joy to me, and I suppose probably to any gospel preacher or elder in the Lord's church, when someone comes up to you and they say, you know, I know a particular person in your church, and I understand he's a member of your church, that he is such a wonderful person, or she is such a godly person. You know what? That's music to my ears. But terror to my ears is when I hear people say, I understand that so-and-so is a member of your church. I can't believe that. I can't believe it, that they're a member of the church. The ungodliness that they espouse, the way they live their lives, their lifestyle. I can't believe, are you serious? They are members of your church? Public life. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he manifested the Spirit of God. There was no question about who he was. And you know what? There should be no big question mark about who we are or whose we are. That we belong to God. And we're there Christians. But sometimes those who claim to be Christians, the language that they use out among the world is so horrible. And so profane and so ungodly, you wouldn't know they were Christians. The way they spend their time, you wouldn't know that they were a child of God, because they're running toward the wrong goal. Their unfaithfulness to the Lord and to the church is obvious. And Jesus said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be, and where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes people are a greater, to me, a greater detriment to the cause of Jesus when they wear that name Christian by the way that they live their lives. And that, my friend, is a horrible thing. You know, I would never, on all my years of preaching the gospel, I have never in any way ever thought, never did it cross my mind, that I would ever do anything that would bring reproach upon the body of Jesus Christ. I would not want to hurt the church by my public life. And I'm going to tell you something. There may be some folks in our community that may not like me. I've tried to be a friend to everybody in Palestine. But there just may be some folks out there who may not like me. But I'm going to tell you something. It won't be because I haven't lived before them in the way that God has asked me to live. And you know what? Every Christian, I don't care who they are, ought to live a life that is exemplary of Jesus Christ. I want the world to see me as a Christian in my public life. And that's why Paul the Apostle wrote in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way some Christians live, you would think that they were more concerned about conformity to the world than they are conformity to Christ. And sometimes we stick our head in the sands and act like people don't know. Sure they know. Your private life, again, your private life and your personal life is reflected in your public life. It will happen. You know, you run with the wrong crowd, you soon become like the wrong crowd. That's why the Bible says that evil companionship corrupteth good morals. I've seen people who are very moral, who are very holy, very good. And they get with the wrong crowd. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not long until they become like the world. And they don't even realize it. They really don't realize it. But it just happens. They just become like the world. And before you know it, they're so far from the Lord and from His church and from the kingdom of God. And tragically, some never find their way back. I hope this year that every one of us will resolve to try to be the kind of person that God wants us to be in every dimension of our life, private, personal, public. Let me share with you, just in closing this morning, some things that I feel like are resolutions that we all ought to make. Give up grumbling. And instead, in everything, give thanks, because Paul the Apostle in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 said to do so. Give up grumbling. You know, a lot of people grumble about a lot of things. You've heard me say it is true. It's America's favorite pastime. They grumble. You ever been around people and nothing is ever right? I mean, honestly. Sometimes people are like that. Men can be that way. Women can be that way. Give up grumbling. In a small town in the United States, there's a rather sizable factory there that hires only married men. And concerned about this, a local woman called the manager and asked him, said, why is it you limit your employees to married men? Is it because you think that women are weak and dumb and cantankerous or what? And the man said, not at all, ma'am. He said, it's because our employees are used to obeying orders and are accustomed to being shoved around. They know how to keep their mouths shut and don't pout when I yell at them. Now, you know what? That can be true of men as well as women. Give up grumbling. and be grateful for all things that God has given you. Give up 10 to 15 minutes in bed and instead use that time to pray unto God. Give up looking at other people's worst points. Instead, concentrate on their best ones. Philippians 4 and verse 8. If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Give up speaking unkindly. Instead, let your speech be generous and understanding. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Give up your worries. Instead, trust in God. That's what Christ said to do in Matthew 6, 34. Give up your hatred and dislike for anyone. Instead, learn to love, based upon what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Give up the fear that prevents you from telling your neighbor and your friend and your loved one and your family member about the Lord that you claim to love and you claim to honor. And seek courage to speak your faith to other people, Romans 1:16. Give up spending so much time in books and magazines and televisions. Instead, use that same time to study the Word of God and become a real Christian, not just one in name. And you know what? If I follow those resolutions, I'm going to tell you something. This year will be the best year of my life. And it can be the best year of your life. I want everything that God does in me, for me, through me, with me, to bring Him honor. Because you know what? God will bless me. He has. And I'm going to tell you, we sometimes run at the wrong goal, and we start seeking the blessings of God in the wrong way. You start following the goals that God has set before you, and I can assure you that God will bless you in every way. And I mean this sincerely. I believe God will bless you financially. I believe that God will bless you emotionally. He will bless you mentally. He will bless you physically. And He will bless you spiritually. Because I'm going to tell you something. The blessings that you and I have come from God. Sometimes we look at others and we say, well, I wonder why I'm not as blessed as others. It may be due to the lack of spirituality in our lives. I told our Bible class this morning that God blesses those who bless Him and those who honor Him. And I hope today that if you're here in this audience and you're not a Christian, that you would begin this year. I can't think of a greater step that you could take this morning than to begin your walk with God. And let this year be lived for Him. Get self out of the picture. Let this year be lived for Him. By your coming to acknowledge Christ, and to say, I believe that He is the Son of God, the confession of your faith in Him, and then a willingness on your part to change what needs to be changed, to quit running at the wrong goal and start running at the right goal, and let that resolution be confirmed by your baptism into Christ for the remission of your past sin, and developing a relationship by which God can forgive you a future sin as you walk with Him and you walk in the light. Some of us in this audience, and the majority of us, are Christians. And I speak to you this morning with a challenge to really be a Christian. Don't just wear the name. God knows the difference. The world knows the difference. And you know what? In your private life, you know the difference. You know whether you are playing a game with God or whether you are sincere. And this morning, if it's been a game, the game's over. Why not turn to God and ask Him to forgive you? To revive you again, as we were singing a moment ago. And to put the old world behind you. Put the old year behind you. And allow God to let everything in your life be new. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. It can be newness for you. And I'm telling you, the best way to spend the rest of your days here upon this earth are for God and to live for Him. He'll bless you when you do. I promise you. And I'm telling you, you can come to me next time, this time next year, and say to me, and I know that you will too, if you really do what I've told you this morning, you know what? You are right. And you know what I'll tell you? No, God was right. His word was right. And I thank God that you found it. If you need to come to Jesus this morning, I hope you will. Either to rededicate your life to him as a child of God, or to become his holy servant by your obedience to him in baptism while we stand and while we sing.